bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. Hey everyone, so I don't really know what to say right now because I never know what to say after I hit record when I start talking to someone. But I am talking to Jess this week. Jess, welcome into the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Anyone and everyone's always welcome. I've always told people too, even though we haven't even talked yet, you are still welcome to come back and talk again sometime on the podcast. So always an open invitation. Jess, I figured we'd start by talking about Disney. I've had a couple guests recently that I've talked with Disney about, both having worked at Disney and intending to work at Disney, but with the coronavirus, their plans kind of got messed up and everything. But you had, some people know that I worked at Disney for about a month and a half or so. Before I left, and you also had a short stint at Disney as well. Talk to me about kind of what got you to apply for Disney. How did you find out about that? And then kind of where your path led you and everything.
Yeah, like what all went wrong? I had this dream for like a really long time of wanting to work at Disney. So I finally got to college. I'm not going to lie, like I wasn't doing so hot. I had like a really bad GPA. I was sleeping through classes. I was just partying all the time. And I just kind of like lost my sense of direction. So then Disney came along and I got into the Disney College program and I was like, yes, finally, like I can do this. So uprooted my whole entire life, left school, whatever. And I started doing the program and I was miserable. And at that point, like I had no work ethic. I had no sense of like where I wanted my life to go. And like looking back now, it was definitely more so, I feel like kind of me running away from my problems and trying to find like just somewhere else to go. But I wasn't ready for it. Like I was not ready for the full-time work. I wasn't ready to work the entire east side of Magic Kingdom and like two or three different like food places a day. Like I wasn't ready. So I think after like 3 or 4 weeks I left, I wasn't enjoying myself. I was miserable. And I'm like, I can't like quote unquote make magic when like I feel like this. Like I need to get myself back on track. So I ended up leaving and it was like a very, very, very big fight with my family for them to like actually let me leave. But I think it was like the best thing for me because I ended up leaving and I went home. I got working right away finally. I got my first car. I ended up going back to school and I stayed steady over at least like a 3.0 every single semester up until graduation. And I started like getting myself in a direction. I don't think that would have happened if I stayed at Disney. I think I needed to fall like flat on my ass in order to actually be able to like, all right, this is my rock bottom. Like now it's time to just work my way back up.
And that was actually going to be part of my next question to you is how you kind of found that sense of direction. Was it because you felt like you were at rock bottom and you were like, all right, I got to collect whatever I can grab within reach and try and figure shit out?
Yeah, I think it was because I remember talking to my dad. I was in the living room because my apartment was in the commons and like all my coworkers my roommates, they were at work. And I was like, I called out for the day because I was just so miserable. And I called my dad crying. He's like, we like uprooted everything to get you down there. We spent so much money. Like if you're coming back up here, you're doing everything yourself. You're getting your flight. You're getting a way to get all your stuff back up here. You're getting all of this to happen. I feel like it was kind of forced on me, but it was kind of like the wake up call that I needed. You know, here I was and, you know, working for like my dream company and I hated my life. I was so miserable. I was so depressed. And I'm like, all right, this can't be like what it is. Like if I'm leaving, I have to do something. So I did. I had a friend that was staying in Tampa that I've known since I was a kid. So went and stayed with her for like a night or two. Flew out from the Tampa airport, ended up being able to get all my stuff from her house and get things shipped or whatever, got back up. And I think within the first week of me being home, I got an assistant manager position. About a week or two later, I got my first car. And then fast forward to January, I got back up to Buffalo for school. And, you know, ever since like my studies were super important, working was super important. It just, I don't know. It's like a switch flipped in some way. I don't know how, but it just did.
Do you feel like now that you you've been able to kind of complete your college work and everything, and it sounds like you feel like you're back on your feet. Do you feel like now you've found that sense of direction and what it is that you're supposed to be doing, or at least it's a little bit more clear for you now?
I think who I am is definitely a lot more clear. You know, I went from someone who didn't really care about school or working and just kind of cared more so about getting attention from people and partying and all that. And I feel like now, you know, it's been what, like 6 years since that program? Wow. Wow. Okay. That's been a long time. Yeah. I just feel like, you know, I went on to get my degree and, you know, work at some really great companies. And, you know, even with where I am now, you know, I'm getting a second degree right now. So I feel like I have more direction in the sense where I know like what I can do and I know what I want to do. And I have that work ethic and motivation behind me now more than I did 6 years ago. If that kind of makes sense. Like I'm still kind of open to seeing where things go for me. Of course there are places that everyone wants to go, but I'm also like not opposed that there are other opportunities that come up. But I feel like I'm at a point in my life where like I'm ready to take like whatever's in front of me and I'm like, great, let's do it. Like I have that drive that I didn't have back then.
Well, it sounds like your values changed along the way as well. You know, you said you were so into partying and like just wanting to be accepted and liked and everything. And now you almost have this new focus of like, here's the things that are important to me. Here's like what I'm proud of accomplishing and here's where I want to go. But whatever happens, happens basically.
Yeah, honestly, I think when I was younger, it was easier just to not care. So I didn't get disappointed because I've learned that I have a very big fear of that I have a very big fear of like failing and disappointing people. And I've gotten to a point where I'm like, listen, like I'm content with where I'm at. I'm content with who I am. And I always want to like keep growing. But if I don't grow at the rate that I want, I'm okay with that. You know, things are happening for a reason, you know? And I'm very big on like this, like the universe and signs and the energy. Like today alone, like I just told you a little bit earlier, I got rejected for a new position at my job for a higher leadership position would be like the position above mine. And I'm just like, you know what? That just means like better things are meant for me to come. You know, it's just not my time right now. And I would rather look at it as a learning experience and a way to grow rather than a way to, you know, beat up on myself. Because what is that going to really do for you at the end of the day? You know, I would rather, you know, take something, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Okay, like, what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? Cool, now I'm ready for next time. So I think that's like a big mentality change that I've also had too.
And it sounds like you've learned a lot about yourself along the way through the different values and experiences that you've had, correct?
Oh yeah, so much. I feel like I did a complete 180. I don't know why people usually say 360, but like I did a complete 180 because I've changed so much. Like I don't even recognize who I once was, you know, those 6 years ago, because everyone knows me as like super motivated, super organized. I'm pretty sure I probably have some OCD. But like everyone knows, like I'm very on top of things and I want to do things right. And I want to be able to help out. There's just so many things that I do now that I would have never done 6 years ago. So I don't even like recognize who that person is, but like I recognize that that's who I once was.
What are you most proud of? Like, is there a specific accomplishment or something that you did or that you made a change in that if you just had to pick one thing that you'd say, like, this is what I'm most proud of?
Yeah, and it's gonna sound like kind of like sad, and like I don't want anyone to feel sad right now hearing this. It sounds really silly, but like being alive. And this is something I actually talked about a few days ago. I grew up like not expecting myself to be alive to graduate high school or being alive to even graduate college, or even just like even being alive right now. Like that was never something I saw. I believe like, you know, as well, like I'm pretty sure like you've seen it and stuff. We've talked about it. I believe, back before I graduated college, I think it was like the summer before my senior year, I had a suicide attempt and I ended up hospitalized, and there was, you know, my mom came up and just, it was like the most terrifying time of my life. And I think that was a time where I finally stopped pushing aside how I felt about, you know, myself and how I felt about things around me. And instead of like pushing things deep down, I started to deal with it. And once I started dealing with it, that's when things got better. Like my senior year of college was amazing because I was going to therapy and I was, you know, working a job where I worked with individuals with special needs. And that was probably one of the biggest things for my recovery was being able to work with them. You know, I was doing really, really well at school. And I just feel like kind of, once again, like a switch kind of flip where it's like, you know what, I could either sit here and I could let myself stay in this really deep, dark place and let myself potentially end up in the hospital again, you know, completely isolated from the outside world, terrified out of my mind, or I can deal with this head on, not ignore the warning signs, and just let myself actually have a life. So I graduated in 2017, and that was probably like one of the greatest days ever, because I didn't, almost a year prior, I didn't see that happening for myself. And now actually up, I think in maybe like a month, probably just about a month from today, I hit 4 years in recovery since being, you know, suicidal and self-harm and stuff. And that's, and I feel like it's silly, but it's not silly, because for people that like struggle a lot with anxiety and depression and like suicidal tendencies, like knowing that you have gone so long without getting back to that dark place and you've learned how to handle it and cope with it. That's something I still celebrate every day. Like, and I'm so proud and I'm so grateful to be alive and to be, you know, where I'm at right now.
Well, and congratulations on 4 years. It is obviously, we're always happy when people are here and alive. You know, I'm glad that you talk about it, because I feel like it's I never know like how to dub it, but I would say it's the stigma in a way of like, we need to start to break that down of being afraid to talk about it. And we need to be more open and more vocal about it. And, you know, you had said, I can't even read my own notes here, but about like being alive and everything, and how you could have a life. What was the turning point for you in all of that of, you know what, like I'm in this deep, dark place, but you know what, I can have that life that I want. Where was that turning point for you?
I feel like it was when I got hospitalized, and I think it was when I got to leave. Because I had, at that point, like I had struggled a lot with, you know, I had a really rough traumatic childhood, you know, growing up until college. I could go through like all the things that happened to me under the sun, but for sake of time, I'm not going to. But I never ended up in a hospital, locked away in a room, needing a nurse to stay with me 24/7, you know, being afraid of other people, you know, on my floor and just staying in my room. I just remember I sat in that room. I think I read the same Prince article about like 17 times. I was doing word searches. Like, I just wanted out. And then I got out, and my mom actually, she flew up to Buffalo to actually get me. And I got out, and I felt so free. Like, I felt so contained in there. And I'm like, I'm never letting that happen to me again. And that's when I guess that was the switch for me. It was like kind of getting out of there. I was like, that was the most terrifying time of my life, and I'm never going to allow it to happen again. And it hasn't since.
You know, the other thing I see you post a lot about too is singing. And I know that you just posted recently that you had been invited to a virtual music festival that you were going to perform at, with your song called Recover. Talk to me about that song, Recover. Is that where this song came out of and everything? And what is that song about?
Yeah. So I actually wrote that after I graduated and I moved back to Long Island. So I got together with this guy that I know, his name is JJ Jones. He's a producer, down on Long Island. And I was like, yeah, like I would, you know, I really want to write again. Now that I'm done with college, I want to get back into doing, you know, singing and stuff, because growing up, I did all the theater shows. I did the competitions. I did the showcases. Like, I traveled Long Island and I performed almost everywhere, it felt like. But I didn't get to do that in college. And I think that's also a really big reason why I got into like a low place, is because my comfort and like my release was gone. Because it was just school work. So I didn't get to do that anymore. So got home, got, you know, met up with JJ, started working with him. And he kind of just sent me this beat and was like, play with it. You know, I know that you like the beat, play with it, see what you do. And I kind of just wrote it. Like, it just happened. And I feel like it was a good chance for me to kind of just get out, hey, like, this is what happened to me. Cause people had known at that point, like, I'm very vocal about like mental health awareness and sexual assault awareness and like all that stuff. I'm very vocal about it. Because like you said, you know, it's fighting a stigma. But for me, music has always been a really big release and how I'm able to cope and how I'm able to deal with things. And I feel like that song was kind of that for me, even though I wasn't struggling at that time. But it was something where I still wanted to address it in the best way that I knew how. So we were able to write that song. I released it, I think it was September of 2017. I got to perform it for the first time in November of 2017. And then I hadn't actually sang it for anyone up until last week. So it was nice. Yeah, it was nice to be able to do it again.
You had said music has always been a big release for you. What got you into singing?
Oh, Lord. I honestly don't know. All I know is that my mom and my dad tell this story all the time that I walked into kindergarten. I yelled at everyone to shut up. And I was like, I'm going to teach you all a song. And I guess it just started as I was a kid. There's videos of me at like 3 or 4 years old. I was singing and dancing to Mambo Italiano in my dad's apartment. I don't even know. I think it just kind of happened. You know, my dad isn't musically inclined. My mom, she's like, my music experience is like in sixth grade when I was Annie, and that's it. So I don't know where it came from. It kind of just happened. And as I got older, I went with my mom a lot because she was like one of the karaoke people. So she would go and work a lot of events and I would always go with her. And of course I got on the mic. Any parties there were, I would go to a DJ and be like, hey, can I have the mic? Can I sing this song? Then it just kind of progressed into doing theater and talent shows and all that stuff. And I don't really know like where it came from. I feel like it kind of just like happened because I've been doing it for as long as I remember.
So it sounds like it's something you were, as far as you can remember, always comfortable with.
Yeah, I never really had an issue like getting in front of people and being like, great, like attention on me now, I'm going to sing. That sounds so bad to say, but like I never had an issue with like quote unquote being in the spotlight. But I will say I'm like more comfortable singing in front of 1,000 people than I am in front of like 10 people in a room. But like I'll still do it.
That's fair. Do you write often?
Oh, I wish I still did. I mean, I think because now I'm going to school for music production. So I'm learning everything with composition and music theory and, you know, working with Logic and Pro Tools and editing and stuff. So like a lot of my focus has been on that. So I haven't been able to like actually sit and write because right now my whole life is it's my job and school, which is not a bad thing because school is something that I love. It's not like kind of stressing me out. But I haven't been able to actually like sit and like write out lyrics in a while. But if you give me like a beat or a song or something, like I can write to it instantly. That producer actually that I work with, JJ, he's been hitting me up and he's like, I have a lot of songs I want you to get on. Like, here, listen to this, you know, write whatever you want. So that seems like it's going to be starting up again, you know, even though I'm here and he's in Long Island. But I think once my program's actually over and I can actually focus on it more, hopefully that gets kind of more back into it. I feel like the most I've done with music is kind of just, you know, sing in my living room or my car when City Walk is open, go to Rising Star. But other than that, it's just been my music right now is mostly just the schoolwork that I'm doing in a sense.
And I know you talked a little bit about the song Recover, but in the past, where has your inspiration come from? Has it come from your own personal experiences or just other things that you've seen out in the world?
Definitely more personal stuff. I feel like every single songwriter I know does that. Because I think it's the easiest to write about. You know, I know writing about love and all that stuff and heartbreak, and obviously that's what everyone is the most easiest topics to write about. But I know especially like with Recover, it was really hard for me to kind of like dig deep into that side of me and like actually be that vulnerable with it. But I praise artists for being like that. And I think that's where I draw a lot of my inspiration, seeing like the vulnerability that artists that I look up to will, you know, they'll put out. And I feel like that's probably some of the best work. Like I'm one of the people where I pay a lot of attention to the lyrics rather than just kind of the music. Like if I know that you're opening yourself up and I know like what the backstory is behind the track, like I'm going to love it 10 times more because I just find that to be so brave and so courageous. So I feel like inspiration, it definitely comes from what I've been through, which is it's been a lot. But I think also from seeing other, you know, songwriters and how they're putting themselves out there as well. That kind of inspires me to want to open up more too.
And you talked about doing music production right now. What is it that you hope to do in terms of music production after you're done with your degree?
So I've actually kind of been thinking about this a lot, because part of me is like, I want to just work in the field. I just want to work with music. But I've learned that and this is going to be really sad. I've learned I'm super good at writing lyrics. I'm super good at making up melodies and harmonies and stuff. When it comes to actually making music itself, I am shit. I am shit at it. So I'm like, okay, so like, how can I work with that? And obviously I can work with other songwriters and musicians and stuff. But I've also realized I want to find a way to take both of my degrees and put them together. So I started out my first degree, my bachelor's in journalism. And my dream always since then has been Billboard, Billboard, Billboard. That's always been the dream of mine. And now I'm thinking, well, now if I have this background with music as well, I'm hoping that can kind of give me a one up, you know, even if I start reviewing local artists or like, kind of just like smaller scale stuff and working my way up. If there's a way that I can get into that music journalism field, I think now having, you know, both areas covered, I think it's going to give me a one up. So that's what I'm hoping to do. If anything, if I'm even just doing some stuff on the side while I'm working my current full-time job, by all means, like as long as I'm involved with doing music somehow, whether it's for me or for like a full-on career, I'll do it.
Well, sounds like you like staying busy. Yes.
Yeah. I don't like to just sit around and do nothing. That's why quarantine has been very hard for me right now. So it's weird just sitting around doing nothing. I can't Netflix all day as hard as I try. I can't do it.
Well, I've been asking a lot of the people that I've been talking to, how are you surviving quarantine? I know that we talked a little bit before we started recording, and I knew this already, that you now have bangs, and you were going to dye your hair, but you changed your mind and went with bangs instead. How has quarantine been going? What have you been doing to keep yourself as busy as you can?
Well, I have bangs, so if that doesn't tell the girls anything, that's something. No, I'm actually trying to take this time because my friend brought it up to me. And she's like, so what are you like outside of work and outside of school? What do you like to do? And I felt like I couldn't answer that. So I feel like I've spent a lot of quarantine trying to discover like new things about myself and like my likes and my dislikes. And I've actually picked up painting. And I love it. And I think it's so therapeutic for me, and it's a way to keep busy and just like be proud of what you're doing. But again, I think that goes like with the drive, like, hey, I want this to look good. I want to look like that. So I have, when I say like maybe like 50 different paint colors, I got a whole bin. I have like 50 brushes. I have a bunch of canvases, and I just sit and I paint now. When I'm not, you know, still working, cause I'm working from home now. So it's not like too different in that aspect, and then still doing my homework on my days off. But other than that, I think it's just been more so like a lot of self-discovery and a lot of being okay with being alone. Cause I'm generally like not good with that, but this is giving me like a good time to kind of get used to that. So, I mean, my cats are happy. I think they get all the attention, but, it's been, I feel like a lot of self-discovery for me.
Well, and I think it's good for everyone. I mean, it sucks. I'll be the first to say that it sucks, of course. And I agree with you in that regard. But I think it's good in the fact that it allows us that time to kind of have that self-discovery and kind of figure out like what is or what isn't important to us and kind of find different things or creative things to be doing. I think that once we get back to, and I hate saying this, but the new normal, I think that we're going to see a lot of things change. I think that we're going to see maybe work from home a little bit more within companies and a lot more Zoom calls. It's going to be very interesting, but I think that this is going to sound terrible, but I almost think that something like this, it sucks that this is what it had to be, but something like this was needed. And the fact for us to kind of figure things out and really kind of make some of those changes in terms of like where we're at in terms of centuries and whatever else the heck I'm trying to say with words right now.
Yeah, so no, it's definitely been interesting. I know that my company, they're looking into the option for people to actually work from home if this goes successfully. Just because a lot of us, we drive from all over. Like I'm lucky enough where now I live 5 minutes from my job, but I used to live, it was an hour there and back every day. And a lot of people do that because, you know, we love working for the company. We don't want to leave the company. But it's a hike. So, but we're able to see that a lot of people are able to still do their job from home. I know me specifically, I feel like I don't have someone watching over me as much. I feel like the conversations that I'm having, cause I work in admissions, for a college, you know, I feel like the conversations kind of flow more naturally. Just because I don't feel that constant pressure. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have my moments where I want to just throw my headset against the wall. But I think it's definitely a chance to show that like remote work can work if your company, you know, allows it to. As much as I also hate quarantine too, I think this is doing wonders for the environment right now, just from all the reports I'm seeing, which I think was super important that we kind of had to let our earth breathe. My biggest concern is kind of just making sure everyone is safe, everyone is sanitized, everyone is, you know, doing their thing to just kind of take those extra precautions. Cause I know right now there are a lot of people that aren't taking this as seriously as they need to. And I think that's been like my biggest concern, because that's how things are going to spread again. You know, I know that we're supposed to have another, you know, peak wave of this coming within the next few weeks. So I want everyone to just be safe and not be assholes about it, for lack of a better term. Because I don't want this to be like our new normal. I miss going to Disney and I miss seeing my friends, and I'm supposed to fly home in June. And I haven't been home in like months and months and months. So it's just going to be super weird, you know, if this is how we are now, like we can't go out. And I don't want this to be the new normal, and I don't think anyone else wants it to either. So I just need everyone to stay the fuck inside. For the nicest way I can say it, stay the fuck inside.
Jess, as we start to kind of like wrap up here, I don't know if you've listened to any podcasts previously, but one of the last questions I always ask people is whether it's something that we've talked about today, or maybe it's something we haven't talked about. What do you want people to take away from you or this podcast episode? What do you want the people to know?
I feel like maybe just the takeaway from me is that you can turn things around if you really want to. I know that there's been a lot of times where I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't. And that was like the only word in my vocabulary. But it's so possible for you to kind of just do a 180 on yourself. But it's not going to work unless you do. And, you know, there are ways to get help for things, but you have to be willing to take the help. I think when I stopped being so stubborn and I actually let people in, that's when I was able to grow and I was able to, you know, be here. I was able to be alive right now and, you know, be where I'm at in my life. And I'm so grateful. But I guess it's just more so I want people to know that you can make whatever changes you want to make. Like, it's not impossible. It's definitely something that is attainable as long as you're willing to work for it. I'm literally living proof of that. So if that's something that anyone can take away from me, just don't give up on yourself, because you can do what you're putting your mind out to.
Jess, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah, of course. So you get to sign off. You get to take us out.
Oh, I guess this is so much pressure. I don't know. Well, thanks everyone for coming and listening to myself talk. I know it's really aggravating sometimes, but I hope you like what I had to say. Feel free to check out all of Trent's other stuff, because he's super awesome. And like, look at that awesome radio voice. So yeah, thanks so much. I don't really know how to close this out, and I'm just going to pretend to do some finger guns like you're going to see it and call it a day.